Well, with me today is Elliot Harris. Elliot's the current chair of Camcrag. Elliot, hi.
Hello, Neil.
All right, now tell us a bit about Camcrag as an organisation, because I'm right in thinking you are properly a formal charity and all that sort of stuff.
Yep, that's absolutely true. We started in August 2015 just as a group of people in Cambridge, in fact off the back of a Facebook group, but now we're a formally registered charity. We have trustees. The trustees appoint a committee of different coordinators who manage a lot of the day-to-day business of Camcrag. And then we have lots of different teams that deal with the different aspects of what we do.
Okay, so when you're looking at people getting involved, presumably there's a whole backroom type thing that they could get involved in as well. If they weren't in the, if it's people who perhaps don't feel their sewing skills are up to it for making ponchos, if they don't feel like they really want to drive all the way to Calais, there's room for people to still get involved in the behind the scenes stuff, is there?
Oh, massively, and there's so much to do just here from Cambridge. We've got different teams. So we've got the communications team, so they're all on social media, they're producing different content, doing campaigns, things like that. And there's lots of opportunities for people to take on little parts of it and get involved with our coordinator, Catherine. That's a really good way of getting involved and finding out how everything's going on. We've also got our fundraising team. So that's probably one of the most fun, really. That's the one where you get people together and can be really creative and come up with your own ideas, spin them off into different sorts of campaigns and projects and ideas and events. And that's just looking out for anybody who wants to jump in, get involved, whether it's helping out at events or coming up with some weird or wonderful idea. And we're also, at the moment, looking for people to help with the coordination of that group as well. So if anybody's interested, it's not tremendously labour intensive, but it is a great opportunity to express yourself and to find out different things. Also, we've got the convoy team. They are, of course, some of the most important people. They're the ones who do all the work when people apply to join a convoy. They match people up in the cars, make the booking at the hostel, let the warehouse know that we're coming. And we could do with a couple more people on that just to make that a bit easier as well. And that's obviously one of the most important things, because sending people out to Calais with aid is the core thing of what we do.
You've sent a fair few people over the years as well now, haven't you?
Yeah, probably in the hundreds, actually. I mean, Cambridge has always punched above its weight when it comes to this. For some reason, this town, just the way it's made up, this mix of activists and academics, people in high-powered jobs, it all comes together and it makes this really special mix that allows us to fundraise really effectively and be able to support other projects with funds and to send people out and to have people who are really keen to get involved.
Yeah. Now, you just mentioned there that you fund other projects as well. Tell us a bit about that.
From the start, Camcrag has always been very good at fundraising. And I say Camcrag, there's been a lot of things that Camcrag has done to fundraise, but also a lot of other people in Cambridge have done themselves independent fundraisers for Camcrag, which has been really impressive. And it's allowed us to respond very quickly to different things. A few months ago, there was a massive aid convoy stuck, I believe, outside Greece, and it couldn't get in because of transport problems. And then Camcrag, I think within about 24 hours, managed to look into it, hear the call, look into it, find out all the information, check that everything was legitimate, and then release the funds in order to help this get off the road.
Wow.
Camcrag's always been very good for that. We've supported the phone credit for refugees projects. We supported Solidarity giving out tea, coffee and information in Paris. We've just been able to support so many projects from here in Cambridge. So every penny that people in Cambridge have provided has allowed really quick responses and really directed responses to help other groups.
Tell us about Apollo 13.
One of the things that we've found that our volunteers have been attracted to in the warehouse is what's known as Tent World. There's this big problem in Calais that tents can often be taken away from people and confiscated very regularly. And just like the poncho project, where it sprung out of the knowledge that blankets will obviously be confiscated quite a lot, so we thought, how do you make a blanket that's hard to confiscate? Make a poncho. Likewise, we're looking at tents and thinking about what we can do intelligently and cheaply and using all those big brains that we have in Cambridge to see if we can think up some designs and some ideas to make tents that are maybe easily produced or easily collapsible to take away. And so, inspired by Apollo 13 and the whole make, do and mend and the do it up with duct tape sort of attitude, we've launched this project to try and find a group of people together who can try to engineer this, put some workshops, try to work out some great ideas that we'll be able to come up with these ideas and take them out to Calais. And of course, it's one of those things, again, that's using the very specific sort of skill set and way that things work in Cambridge, is that there are the sort of clever people who will think that up.
They can think it through. And the message which I seem to pull from all this as well is if you can do this for Calais, then the same thing works here at home. So if we can come up with these techniques, it helps our own homeless as well.
It could do, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've probably heard that with the ponchos, we're maybe going to consider seeing if those can be used to help some homeless people as well. Obviously, we have to be very careful as a charity to focus on our charity aims, which are supporting refugees in Europe. But yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about when you do these sort of things about designing and coming up with ideas, is that then you can give them to other groups as well, so they can also use them.
Now, you've got your fingers in many pies across Cambridge, both in your voluntary work and in your professional life. Why Camcrag?
I think one of the things that was really inspiring with Camcrag and the refugee solidarity movement in general is that it's entirely grassroots. It's all people to people. There's no big government organisations, there was no big setups, no big NGOs, although the Red Cross, to be fair, has always had a presence in Calais and tried to support people. But the fact that everything's very horizontal, that it's all people working together, that all the systems have developed by working together, that people self-motivated themselves. And I love, with Camcrag especially, the fact that normal people, everyday muggles from normal life in Cambridge, can go away for a weekend and get first-hand experience of working with refugees, to go and contribute, to do something like that when they could stay here in their nice, cosy lives. And also that there's so many ways for people to get involved here as well. It's very empowering for people, because lots of things in the world, especially at the moment and especially with the refugee crisis, are just so big and so hard to solve and just so difficult. And having something where you can actually make a difference, whether it's making a meal for somebody or giving a tent or something that's really going to change a person's life, you know, change one person's life in all of this big flood of difficulty, then that's something that's really special.
And I get the impression from you and from the others around that a lot of people think, oh, the jungle's been disbanded. I mean, we had Songhat in the 90s and the early 2000s, and that was disbanded. The jungle came, the jungle is gone. Grand South camp at Dunkirk, that's all been gone. The Medicine Sans Frontières site has burnt down. The problem's out of the way now. But it strikes me that we're listening to you, we haven't begun yet.
No, not at all. And this is one of the things, is that although there are a lot less refugees in Calais and in Dunkirk, the situation that they find them in is kind of worse, because they're not able to form any camps at the moment, because the hostile environment that's being created there makes it very hard even to do the basics. And back in the day, they used to be able to do all sorts of enrichment projects and used to try to do all sorts of things. And there's still a little bit of that now, but just trying to get clothes and shoes out to people and food out to people is really difficult. When we did our April convoy, they were telling us just how low they are on donations and low they are on volunteers, because people have just moved on and forgotten about it, which is a little bit painful. But so we're trying to, if that's one thing people can do, is just keep telling people that it's still an issue, that it's still a thing, then even if that's all you do after hearing this is go out into the pub and tell other people, do you know what, there's still refugees in Calais and Dunkirk, and do you know what, there's still people going out there, we're still here.
So Camcrag, though, isn't actually running this warehouse in Calais. You're just a group of volunteers that go over. How is it all structured? And there's all these other groups as well, other projects that are on the go out there.
That's it. There are a number of different groups that group together that work in Calais. The warehouse that we go to is the Auberge du Migrant warehouse, and that's got the Help Refugees, who do most of the material donations, so they manage the warehouse with clothes and shoes and things like that. You've got the Refugee Community Kitchen, where they make food, currently for about 1,500 people a day. In previous times, not long ago, it was 2,500 people. In times before that, it was much, much more. Which is an amazing project and really inspiring. As well as that, you've got the Refugee Youth Service working with younger people. You've got the Infobus that takes out Wi-Fi and information to refugees to help them. There's the Calais Laundry that started up now to try and help people and launder different things like sleeping bags and clothes and things like that. There are a couple of other groups there as well that I'm forgetting. There's Utopia 56, a French group which does takes out distributions as well to people. So there's all these different groups and they manage to all work together really organically. And again, it's kind of because of that grassroots thing. Everyone sits there and works really well, but they motivate themselves. When you're in the warehouse, if you decide you want a break, you take a break. But people work themselves really hard because they know why they're there. There's a sense of purpose and they work together because there's this shared sense of purpose, even in the different areas.